fortunately was able to send Tyler James, who is, has his master's in public health, and he's the director of the New York State Collaborative Care Initiative and also works with the Institute for Family Health in New York. The Collaborative Care Initiative provides TA to hospitals to integrate behavioral health care into primary care outpatient clinics. So now we're going to hear the reverse of one of the models that Bill mentioned in terms of integration. So, Tyler?
How's everyone doing? I'm very happy to be here. It's my first time at APHA, so having an opportunity to speak is very exciting for me. So what we're going to do is just give you a little overview of what we do at IFH and how we're doing integration work on the ground, taking away from the research setting and actually doing real live practice. I'll give you some sense of what we do at IFH, and then we'll look at some of the models that we are able to implement. So at IFH, our mission, we have some lofty goals, and what we like to do is our primary thing is making sure that we are delivering care to the people that need it the most. And as a federally qualified health center, we're able to provide a great level of care regardless of their ability to pay. And now with the whole Affordable Care Act, we're spending a lot of time helping patients who don't have insurance, work with them to get enrolled, and things of that nature. One of the things that we use the family practice model of care, and a lot of times we'll see residents at our sites who are family practice residents who are going through the trainings and learning how to deliver this type of care so they can take it away from IFH, and when they go out to practice, they'll be able to become a great family practice physicians. So that's a big piece of what we do, a lot of training of students and professionals. We run a center where we do a lot of trainings of evidence-based practices, a lot of problem-solving treatment for depression, do a lot of teachings around motivational interviewing, behavioral activation, a lot of those quick treatments that can be used to help people with depression. And since we're in New York City, most of our sites are down there, it's very important that we have a workforce that reflects a very diverse population. Like New York's one of the largest melting pots you'll ever find. So what we do throughout the IFA is promote diversity throughout the workforce. And we're very big on doing a lot of research and work around the health research and policy development. Now, just looking at our staff and our budget at Institute for Family Health, we're one of the largest community health centers in New York State. We have over 900 staff members between boroughs of Manhattan, the Bronx, and upstate New York. We have a budget of approximately $92 million. We see about 450,000 visits yearly, and we have about the same numbers for our behavioral health. So we have quite a few programs that align with our mission that we just talked about briefly. So we have medical care we provide, dental clinics, we have a pharmacy, and we have a couple of mental health programs. We work with special populations as far as HIV, homeless programs, and women and children. We do a lot of educational programs, and like I said before, we're very big on research. We're actually one of the first clinics not included in the impact study run by the Ames Center, where we actually did an integrated care model out in the real setting just to see what it was like. And we've been using it ever since 2006. And health information technology, we have something called My Health, My Chart, where patients are able to access their records from any computer that they have and see what's going on. They can look at their treatment plan. And so the same thing that their physicians are able to see, that their psychiatry able to see, the social workers able to see, they have access to that as well. Now, just to give you a sense of how big we are, we have our 6 Manhattan centers, we have our 5 Bronx centers, 6 in the Mid-Hudson center, centers in the Mid-Hudson area. We offer 2 free clinics. We have 8 care for homeless sites, 5 Ryan White HIV/AIDS programs, and 7 mental health centers. So we have here listed, we have Walton Family Health Center, which is in the Bronx, and then we have our 16th Street Sydney Hillman Health Center, which is in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. That's where I spend most of my time. I'm not traveling back and forth. So what's the purpose? Why do we want to integrate? Some of the things we know so far, as we've seen from the first presentation, that most of our patients who are depressed, they're not going to see, you know, they're not going to see a mental health clinician. They're going to their doc. They're going to the one who's usually providing their treatment already. You know, so we want to make sure we're meeting people where they're getting their treatment, right? Another thing is what we know, that screening is very underutilized for mental health conditions. So we want to make it the same where it's like if someone had blood pressure or they had diabetes, it would be unheard of if someone came in, you weren't doing an A1C, you weren't taking their blood pressure. I mean, we want to make sure we get to the same point where we're removing the stigma for depression or other mental health illnesses and that we're doing these screenings for them on the site. And also, like we do the screening, we might give a patient a referral, but we see that a lot of times, some places, just from not having enough psychiatrists in the area, it can be a long time between getting a referral and actually seeing a mental health clinician. I know some places upstate, it can be anywhere from 6 weeks to 2 months. And if we know studies have shown that, you know, a lot of times someone has a mental health illness, they're not going to, it's going to take some work to get them there. So that long waiting time is just not ideal. And with the current direction we're heading with the whole patient-centered medical homes, the ACLs, and the health homes, it just makes sense to do this. So we're looking here at like our first model we have here. We have a mental health staff that's co-located in the federally qualified health center, community health centers. So at these sites we have this model, we have a full-time licensed social worker who's co-located in the health center full-time. And then we have an on-site psychiatry provider. Not only do they see patients, provide patient care, but they also do consults on site. And that can be in-person or electronic. And they're available for phone, electronic, and medical record consults at all times. And one of the probably most underutilized tools is the telephone. It is a great resource, and when it comes to doing this type of consultation, it is definitely something that has to be used. So the second model that we have in place is Article 31 Mental Health Center, co-located in a federally qualified community health center. So at this Article 31, the Mental Health Outpatient Center is co-located with full-service community medical health center. The staffing includes primary care providers, adult and child psychiatrists, and licensed mental health clinicians, and both services operate full-time. Now, with also mental health regulations, this often conflicts with primary care, so it might not make sense why we have to do this. So just based on regulations, while we have both sites operating full-time, you have to see a certain amount of volume of patients before you even qualify for the license. So this volume is at 10,000, I guess it's about 10,000 patients. So that's the reason why we do it. And our third model is a cooperative agreement with a community health center. So a community health mental service, excuse me. So FQHC Community Health Center partnered with a community mental health provider to provide comprehensive specialized care. Now this model utilizes existing services to expand upon access, continuity, and comprehensive care, and ensure all have access to the appropriate level of service. Now efforts in process to identify and transfer patients and mental health systems who can be managed by primary care services. And the goal is to make sure they're all connected to the primary care service, and that's what we're doing. And then our fourth model that we use at IFH is a part-time primary care services and mental health day treatment program. So we place a primary care provider in a day treatment program approximately about 6 hours per week. Now this primary care provider offers ongoing primary care as well as urgent care to patients who attend day treatment programs. So that's our fourth model. So since doing this work in 2006, there's some things that we come across that we know that work. So I figure we share this with you and see how it goes. The big thing, completely shared records with no restriction. The whole point of doing integration work is trying to remove the silos, right? So we know that's, you have so many different systems operating. You have your primary care, you have mental health, you have your CBOs who are offering other services who just aren't talking to each other. So when you have a completely shared record, you don't have to worry about the restrictions. You can just go in and share information, and you're able to work off of one plan. That's what you want to have. We also changed the mission statement to reflect the work we're trying to do around integration. And that's the key thing, as we saw from other presentations. Change has to occur. You're taking a culture and pretty much turning it on its head, getting people to work and accept change. So that's a key thing you have to have with staff, and that's what we have at IFH. You know, people who are ready to embrace innovation, ready to keep things moving forward. Another thing, we want to make sure our staff is trained in primary care evidence-based practice. And we mentioned before, a lot of stuff we do is around motivational interviewing, problem-solving treatment, and behavioral activation. So it's getting staff trained in those models, so that's the way they can sit down with their patients and utilize it. and having a transdisciplinary approach. One of the things that we actually started doing, we did Safe Talk. And like we said before, we have over 900 members trained on staff. We actually have 900 members trained in Safe Talk to be able to get that done. And once again, we're going back to the whole silo piece. You know, those metrics are almost working off the same metrics. You know, you don't have just your mental health clinicians focusing on the PHQ-9 or the GAD score. They're also looking at A1Cs when they're dealing with their patients, and vice versa when you're dealing with our staff who are based in primary health care. And another big piece is the registry. It's not impossible to do this work without the registry, but it's definitely something that you need to have if you're going to do integration work. And we're going to take a look at a couple of slides to show our registry and see how we built it to better suit integration. So at IFH, we use Epic, and this is an amazing tool. And the key point when you're doing shared population care, it allows you to track patients, and no one gets lost in the shuffle. Right, everyone's able to go in and see what's happening, see when last test results were done. You know, so providers are able to stay on track. Social workers, anyone who has access to the patient, able to go in and see what's going on with that patient. So it's definitely a great tool to have. Another big thing is the shared care plan, right? So doing integration work, we want to make sure we're all working off that same plan with the patient. You know, patient is able to take their one plan from provider to provider, and everyone's aware of what's happening. And as you can see here from the screenshot, you have both the medical and the social goals are listed right there for everyone to see, right? So it's clear to the physician, the primary care physician, the social worker, psychiatrist, whoever's working with that patient, they can see all the different type of goals that patient's working on. And they can make sure they integrate, they incorporate those the issues that the client is working on, the patient is working on, into the treatment plan. Another good thing is you can see the decisions, the medical decisions that are put into the chart, right? So if the psychiatrist is sitting down with the patient, they can see the last time they had a tetanus shot, when they had their last HPV vaccine, all those different things. So they can build that into the treatment plan when they're dealing with the client. So you know you're dealing with a depressed patient. A lot of times they have different barriers that are kind of preventing them from reaching certain goals. So when you can take their medical needs that they have, not just their behavioral health, and you can work with them, build it in, because it's all right there in front of you. So that's another great tool that we have. So whenever you're doing something new, we like to believe we're perfect, but there are some things that did not work out. So we have a few of them listing here. So until recently, until we expanded our practice, existing behavioral health staff is utilized as faculty for the residency program. So that was not something we started doing until recently. And we talked about it in another presentation as well, this is the physical layout of space. So when you're doing integration work, you know, you want to make sure that you're not keeping the two different groups, three different groups separate from each other, right? But a lot of times we're acquiring new space, the layout just prevented that from happening. So you have to invest the time, the money into figuring out how to make that all work. And that's what eventually happened to us. And then teams and staffing. So at IFH, we're open 365. We have long hours. You know, you might have everyone that you need for a morning huddle, but things aren't structured appropriately for the evening shift that comes in. You might have a ton of staff that's there, social workers, but where is the consulting psychiatrist that's on staff? So those are some of the bumps that we came across, but we were able to eventually work out. So Verna has actually been doing this work for quite some time, and she is by far an expert on this. And she's always willing to lend a helping hand when it comes to doing this type of work. So I have up on the screen her email address, just in case anyone needs to get out there, reach out to her. And it's something that we definitely love doing at IFH. Like I was saying in the introduction, that we're actually working with 20 hospital systems now through Office of Mental Health and Department of Health. And we're on the ground with them, you know, struggling with the change and really help them implement these new ideas and integration getting in place. So, thank you.